If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Earlier on in the Gauteng legislature, the DA, Jade Miller, asked the MEC of Social Development about an old age home that has been built. In fact, it was built since 2019 and is yet to have occupants for various reasons. And they posed this, the DA posed this at the Gauteng legislature. On the line with us is the director responsible. No, I'm going to start here with Refilwe Ntseke, who's a DA, Gauteng Shadow MEC, a Shadow Minister of MEC of Social Development and Political Health in Tembisa. Refilwe, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and let me greet the Kai FM listeners as well. Thanks for having me on.
Refilwe, I believe that your colleague Jade Miller posed a question to the MEC of Social Development. Please give me a bit of background, because you are, the leader in Tembisa. Give me the background to this old age home.
Yes, let me just give context as well. What we do as well in the DA, if I have a few more than two questions, I can ask the question to go under a colleague's name. So then I asked it to go under Jade Miller's name. So, Tembisa, the home was opened by MEC Faith Mazibuko back then in 2012 when she was actually the MEC of Social Development.
Ah, yes.
And when they opened it, it has capacity for 69 residents.
Mm.
And then in 2018, 2019, it was shut down again due to structural defects that were found. There were some water leaks and other things with the building.
Mm-hmm.
We then fought throughout this whole period, and around 2022, the MEC at that time, who is now the current speaker, Muragani Musupie, allocated 500,000 to have the structural defects fixed.
Okay.
To my understanding, it was fixed.
Okay.
So all I've been asking is please reopen this particular facility, because when they did shut it down in 2018-19, the elderly people were sent back to their families or distributed to other old age homes around the province, which is not necessarily the best solution, because you want to have people put in an old age home where they can actually walk to it over weekends, so that we don't have our elderly people put in an old age home and then abandoned by family. You want to still maintain that relationship. The importance of an old age home is it gives you, the family members, an opportunity that goes on, that Dumhul is being cared for by someone else. And then you can go out and look for a job, and then weekends you pop in and spend time with them. You can even take them home some weekends, so they still know that family loves them. So this is why I'm fighting for this old age home to get reopened again.
So your understanding is that there was an allocated amount of money to fix some of the issues that arose. And as far as you know, that work actually happened. You're asking then, why is it not reopened?
Correct.
Did you get a response?
Yes, I've got some responses, although some of them are a bit shocking. Earlier this year, when I asked the MEC through an oral question, she says the home is done. However, she is waiting to have money for catering so she can open the facility. And I said, no. Why don't you just open the home? And when you've got money for catering, you can open it officially, but it can already start working. There's multiple problems with that, in that we know that when buildings don't get used, they start getting vandalized, and they actually start getting destroyed because of lack of utilization. So nobody maintains them. But in a more recent response, not even to me, more to the media, she actually indicated that she's still looking for an NPO to run that old age home. And I don't buy that either. I think there's enough old age NPOs in Gauteng who qualify to run an old age home. So I'm still going to continue the fight, because I think that is not a good enough excuse for not having that home utilized. In fact, about a month ago, we managed to get the portfolio committee out in Tembisa. Looking at the facility, we walked through it. It is a beautiful facility.
Mm.
So people who need work, social workers, social auxiliary workers, caregivers, and nurses are being denied employment, knowing how bad unemployment is in Gauteng. But also our elderly are being denied a very safe, good facility where families can at least be relieved of their caretaking. Where in some instances, you know, people are frail, they need to be tended so they don't get bed sores, or they are on nappies, which some people don't know how to take care of Gogo when they are in that situation.
So who do you know which MPO used to run the facility before we had to shut it down?
I actually asked questions on that regard, and I have not yet got a response from the MEC. Because I want to also understand there's a controversial arrangement, because the people who work for that NPO and worked at the old age home have approached me. We've been working closely with them as well, but no promises from my side. They were promised that they will stay at home. They shouldn't look for new work, because when the home reopens, they'll be hired again. So in the questions I've asked to the MEC, where I'm not getting a response, it's also to say, since that contractual agreement was not terminated, it merely ceased due to a structural integrity problem, shouldn't they have honored the duration of what was outstanding of the previous contract? And I'm waiting for that response.
Well, Rufile, really thank you so much for bringing this to the fore. Rufile Nseka is a DA Gauteng Shadow MEC for Social Development, as well as a political leader in Tembisa there. Kanyisile Mathebula is a director responsible for the older persons at the Gauteng Department of Social Development. Thank you so much, Kanyisile, for talking to us. Good evening. Ms. Mathebula, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to the listeners and to yourself and the honorable member, Ms. Rufile.
Yes. Just for a bit of background, I don't know if you were able to hear Rufile and her comments earlier. Are you able to just maybe confirm that some of the things that she stated are true, that the home was had already started going and then had to be shut down just for some minor repairs? Money was allocated and all of that was completed in 2022. Are there any gaps in that story?
Yes, but I can maybe fill in terms of the details. And coming from the policy background, in terms of the older people, we are expected to ensure that there is a health certificate when environmental health officers visit the facility. They should confirm that it's 100% safe for older persons, the residents, because if it is not, we will be in trouble as the department. So this facility, when the health environmental officer visited, he found it to be not compliant. Hence the closure. I'm told it was very serious. I hear honorable members saying it was minor. It was not minor, very serious, of which the department was very much worried. They were saying that I don't understand the infrastructure jargon, but I can explain that they set lentils on top of the windows. You know, they were sagging, and that was a danger to the older persons, the residents, hence the closure. When the environmental health officer went there for inspection, because the health certificate expired, and then he had to come and do the inspection so as to assure us that our older persons are safe. But over and above that, I'm informed by the infrastructure unit that there at that site, there were three sites. Actually, the one on top, there was also a park. I'm just explaining, 2014, fortunately I was there when we launched the facility, and when they closed, I could understand from the legislation point of view. So they had to consolidate the three sites. So I'm told there was a park there. So the process is in terms of the approval by the municipality then took, you know, long until 2023, when we are assured that everything is 100%. Then as a department in 2023, we took a decision, because we only have one facility, which is state-owned, which is our departmental facility. We felt we have a legal obligation as a department, and not only to be dependent on NPOs. We then decided that this facility was going to be taken over us, but the process is then, you know, delayed. And then in 2024, we then took a decision that, no, let's rather get an NPO that will manage this facility of ours whilst we're getting ready with the processes of the Department of Government to employ the structure, the recruitment processes. We said, the need is so huge. Let's rather at least have an NPO. So when we had this decision, then we had to advertise, because people accuse us that, why do you take this one and not this NPO? We advertise in the Soweto, we advertise in the community newspapers. But there was no response. Response was very, very bad until we started to headhunt. So that's where we are. There is now an NPO that has really come forward and to say, we want to help you as the department. So we're busy with the processes. They've done the business plan. We've paneled them. And now we need to just to finalize there, because we have to go back to the old members, the NPO old members of the residential facility. Pardon me. In terms of the new act, we don't call them old age homes, you know, the residential facilities for older persons. So we had to go back to them for the NPO registration. So that's why the process is, we are working day and night to ensure that Tembesa is opened. And I want to say to the members and to the public that there are other services that are running in Tembesa. We have 19 residential facilities. We have 34 service centers. We also have 26 home-based supplements, Ilona, in the residential facility, because it's 24 hours. I know it's not enough. There are more people who need the service. So I think very soon, we're hoping July, end of July, we would then be able to open a Tembesa. Already, the region or the corridor, there are people who are on the waiting list. What did I want also to comment on? So the NPO is there. They've signed. They've done the business plan. We're just waiting, you know, to finalize final details so they can sign the SLA.
Let's go back to some of the issues that you've pointed out. You are saying that the health certificate had expired, some of the things that happened is that the health experts, officers came through and they were concerned about the structural problems there. You are saying they were not minor, but 500,000 was approved by that MEC at the time. Was that not enough according to you?
Yes, I explained before that we had to address those defects working together with the municipality. I spoke about the lentils on top of the windows, the consolidation of the three sites within.
I just want to take it step by step. You've tabled a few things, so we just want to make sure that we follow. With regards to the health certificate and the defects that you say were pointed out by the inspectors, I want to clarify, the money that was allocated, was it enough and did it satisfy the health inspectors? And in terms of that, did you now get a new health certificate?
Not as yet, because they were fixing this all these defects, because the health certificate then comes, you know, after. So infrastructure will explain it so well, because at the end in 2023, then they then informed us that the occupancy certificate is there. It is after the everything has been put in place, the equipment, medical equipment and everything, that the health environment officer will then come. Because that's the certificate that will require a social worker to say, is everything okay? Is everything in place? So the 500,000 did help, because the facility has been fixed. And the three sites in one facility has been merged, working together with the municipality. So everything is 100%
now. So we have a health certificate.
Not as yet. So the health certificate comes after, because the business plan that the organization that we're going to use for the management of the facility will point out a different, you know, needs that needs to be met before the function, the facility can be fully functional. Then the environmental health officer will then come and say to us, everything is okay, and issue a certificate. So we are pushing that the additional funding, which is from the business plan and the other equipment, be, you know, released, so that the appointed NPO can then set up the facility to be ready for opening, and health inspector can then or the health environmental officer can come and say, and okay, and give us the health certificate. Otherwise, if it's lying like that and there's no NPO, the health health environmental officer needs to issue the certificate to an organization that is running the facility.
Where I'm stuck is you saying everything is okay, and yet on the one hand you're saying everything is not ready. That's where I'm stuck. It's for me the chicken and an egg situation. So which one would have to come first? I'm worried that the NPO took almost a year to appoint, and yet at the same time the decision, according to you, was that this is an interim solution while the social development decides for itself that they will actually manage the facility. What is the final decision? Are you going to finally hand it over to the NPO, or is the plan still to run it yourselves with the interim solution of the NPO?
Yes, the plan is in the near future to take over as the department.
When was the plan? According to the business plan, how soon will that likely be?
The business plan of the NPO, they are supposed to start at any time.
No. The department, when is it hoping to take over? Because you are saying that there was a process underway for you guys to get yourselves together with the structure plans. You are saying that there were structural plans that you had and all of that.
Mm.
Is that process still underway?
Yes, we are signing an SLA. We're going to sign just for 1 year.
Okay.
And then assess the progress of the processes of the department to take over. And then we then decide. For now, I don't think there's a definite end date. But however, we want to ensure that even if it's an NPO managing Tembisa, our older persons can be, you know, assisted. So also to explain the reason, it's not the NPO that delayed. I did mention that we started in October last year. I think it was October, November. We advertised in the Sowetan. The challenge in that community was that there was nobody was coming up and compliant. Okay, what we did, besides Sowetan, we then said, let's advertise in the community newspaper. Still, there was no one. You know, it was such a... So that delayed the process. We're pushing that we need to open this facility. So at the end, around, I think, April, then there was this organization who were saying, no, we want to help you as a department. So that is why we delayed. But also the process is to check the previous board, their NPO registration, and to get those board members and to ensure all the compliances delayed us as a department. We have meetings on a weekly basis just to track, you know, the process. I even said to the team, when we got those board members, I think it took 2 months, and I even said, even going to the bank to change the account at the bank, I was even saying, no, I can also go myself and ask the bank manager, please help us. We want to help our older persons. But so those are the challenges that we have been encountering.
But if the process was in parallel with your own establishment, why? Because it's taken this long, how come you're not ready as the department? If it was a parallel process.
Yeah, there were other, you know, the issues of recruitment the structure and all. You know, those processes have to go up to DPSA, starting with our office of the premier. And at that stage, we were also doing the benchmarking. I remember we had to go to KZN to check how they run their residential facility for older persons. So all those processes then delayed. But I'm happy that at the end the department said, no, the community needs this service. Let's rather get an intro in the meantime whilst we're still, you know, preparing ourselves to take over.
So your own processes started in 2023. And this is 2025. Yes. Did you stop that process completely?
No. Meetings are even running now. We have a structure that we have finalized, the human resource structure, after the follow-up with other provinces. How does their structure look like? The benchmarking, issues of procurement, consultation also with the community was key. Our stakeholder unit was consulting with the community. So there was no stage where we stopped and not did anything.
Yeah. It's just that it's taking this long, and you're not finished yet. That is a concern from 2023. Mm-hmm. We're in 2025, and that's nowhere near being finished.
Yes, understood, but we are really at a stage now when we can open. As long as now we have an NPO, that will help us. I think for me it's a breakthrough for the community.
Ms. Matebula, there's a call here. Mpulo is calling from the East Rand. Mpulo, good evening and thank you so much for your patience.
Good evening, Rosemary, and how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Go ahead, Mpulo.
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah. Good evening, guest, and everyone there. I'm just, you know, yeah, this is, you know, very upsetting. Another era, another, you know, kind of like we don't care, kind of like of an approach. Because, like you say, since 2023, and now this is 2025. But my few questions with regards to based on the discussion is the following. Did the government just fail to make the facility run, stand up and running, just because of the City of Ekurhuleni health certificate? I mean, that is my first question. I just want to hear the response with regards to that. My second question is that if now we are saying we are looking for an NPO to run, at the same time wherein the government is saying the NHI should be in place, what are we exactly saying in with regards to the facilities and the services that we are about to provide? Is this an acknowledgement by the department that the NHI will not work, we still need private sector or the NPO to come and assist? Thank you, Pimela.
All right. Ms. Matebula, do you want to respond to that? There is another question. Maybe let's take both of them. Esbusiso in Fosloras, good evening.
Yeah, well, how's it?
I'm good, Butu. I'm good. Thank you so much.
I'm good. Yes, Ms. Matebula. I can hear, as he's been talking, honestly speaking, it's like this guy that called earlier on that you cannot sugarcoat things. Yeah, you know, pretending, sugarcoating, acting like you can't see, it's the same thing done in a different way. So now instead of coming with a straightforward answer, you're busy asking a question. Instead of coming with a straightforward answer to say, no, the reason why it's not open is this. He's telling us about our processes and people are upstairs in a fire that needs those facilities. I think it's very unfair. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Sibusiso there in Fosloras. Ms. Matebula, maybe just your comments to the two questions or comments coming through.
Okay, I want to explain that in terms of the health certificate, we are mandated in terms of our norms and standards. If you go to the regulations for older persons, but you cannot approve as a social worker, as any official of the department, because the registration is approved by the HOD without a health certificate. So a health certificate will confirm the facility is safe for older persons, but there are other processes that come before the issuing of the health certificate, like the occupancy certificate. Infrastructure people can explain better to say everything is fixed, and there are so many people, they even prescribe that health certificate will tell me as a social worker, 20 people can only be admitted there. There's also not the health certificate, food acceptability. Those are the things that the health environmental officer will look into. So before myself writing a motivation to the HOD to say this facility is compliant, those documents I need. So groundwork has to be done to ensure that the facility is 100%. Then the municipality will come, check even the equipment and everything that it is safe. Then it will be issued. I really cannot bypass that. Also, with the NPO to run, I did indicate, I'm not going to comment on NHI because I'm not in health, but the reason why we resorted on an NPO to run was processes are delayed in the department. Because as government, like I was making an example of the structure that DPSA has to approve and so on and so on. Let's rather, because other facilities are run by NPO, let's get an NPO because the needs are so, many. Our older persons need, this facility. And already there are those that are on the waiting list as confirmed by the I'm not sugarcoating or what, but I'm explaining the reality. I'm directly involved. I knew every day.
Let me ask you this just because of time. What concerns me is that you are the one facilitating a bank account for the NPO. How are they helping you if they themselves could not open a bank account?
Wait. The reason why we had to intervene, the very processes were delaying. And we went to and it's not the NPO that we have appointed. Remember, there was a board at Tembisa Home. So we're trying to push, because even MEC was saying, you have to do something, you have to do. So we went to the extent of saying, take those, the region, took those board members, took them to the bank. Okay, go to the bank and explain. We need to ensure that we have other signatories so that we can continue and open Tembisa. So that was the pressure that we experienced. Even going to NPO directorate in Pretoria, we had to push our social work, take these board members, because we're not going to progress. The pressure is mounting. We have to do something. And that is our role as social
work. What was wrong with the board members? What's wrong? Why did you have to intervene?
They were delaying. I think it was for 3 months, to be honest. They were delaying, saying this one is not coming now, this one is not coming. And I said, you know what, go and social workers, social auxiliary workers went there to take them now herself to go to the bank, because I was even volunteering as a director in the provincial office that now let me take these board members to the bank manager, or let me talk to the bank manager, because I can feel the pressure myself to say we need to ensure that this place is launched and opened.
Okay, my last question is the issue of the zoning. Is that sorted by the municipality?
Yes, yes. From the infrastructure report that I received before coming to this interview, they said because it was the park there, the other, so they had to consolidate the three sites.
I've got to thank you so much for coming through this evening. Thank you, Director responsible for older persons at Gauteng Department of Social Development, Kanyisile Mathebula.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.